This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I'd like to read a poem by Gary Snyder in memory of Jessica's cousin, Stephen Gerber, who died on Thursday after a shockingly brief illness. He went from having some shortness of breath a couple of months ago to receiving a diagnosis of stage 4 lung cancer within a month, being on an experimental chemo trial, being placed on an incubator, unable to breathe. Intubation, and within a month, completely unable to breathe on his own and passing away. Jessica and Stephen grew up together and have been close friends for more than 60 years. Their family was well off enough that the two brothers, Stephen and David, were able to pursue their own visions. The older brother, David, became a monk in the Korean lineage of Suntsanim and has visited here a few times. Some of you may have met him. Stephen became a classical musician and composer. We say that this practice of ours is to resolve the great matter of life and death. And how do we understand that? What do we imagine that could ever mean or look like? We hear stories of old Zen masters who predicted the time of their own death, sat in full lotus, composed a poem, and then passed away, as if this is a model of being able to be in absolute control in the face of the most uncontrollable thing there is. Joko thought it was just sad that we turned even dying into something we had to try to do well. Stephen's death, in a way, shows how it just comes upon us, preparation or not. And the poem that I will read by Gary Snyder is a very real picture of what death and dying is about. I only knew Stephen for a relatively short time, but I feel Jessica's loss, and losses echo other losses. I'm reading this poem in which Snyder describes the death of his wife. I feel echoes of the death of my wife, Deborah, more than 20 years ago now. in a way that sometimes so painful I'm not sure I can get through reading this poem. But the difficulty or the pain is what I can offer in memory of Stephen and to Jessica and her loss. Go Now by Gary Snyder. You don't want to read this, reader. Be warned. Turn back from the darkness. Go now. About death and the death of a lover. It's not some vague meditation or a homily, not irony. No God or enlightenment or acceptance or struggle with the end of our life. It's about how the eyes sink back and the teeth stand out after a few warm days. Her last breath. And I still wasn't ready for that breath, that last, to come at last. After 10 long years, so thin that the joints showed through, he'd sinew and knob. Shakyamuni coming down from the mountain after all that fasting looked plumper than her. I met a walking skeleton. His name was Thomas Quinn, we sang back then. She could barely walk, but she did. I gave her the drugs every night. And we always kissed sweetly. And fiercely after the push, kissed hard. And our teeth clacked, her lips dry, fierce. She was all bones, breath, and eyes. He hadn't made love in 8 years. She had holes that drained all the time in her sides. New ones that came and again. And she talked when she could. Daughters, mother, sister, cousins, friends, in and out of the room. Even the hardened hospice nurse in tears. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Our duet, cheek to cheek, for that last 6 weeks. She watched the small nesting birds in the tree just outside. Then she died. I sponged her and put on a blouse with sleeves to cover gaunt elbows. a long gauzy skirt like Mumtaz Mahal. I was alone. Then they came. One daughter cried out, "She's a corpse," and stood fixed outside on the deck. It was warm. The third day, the van from the funeral home came for her, backing up close to the door. I helped roll her into the sheets, slid on a gurney, wheeled to the car, and they drove up the rough gravel hill, our family group standing there silent. As I turned, held my breath, closed my eyes to the sky. 5 days of heat, and they called me. Just Kai and me, to come witness cremation. It cost extra. Only the two of us wanted to be there, to see. We followed the limousine through a concrete yard with hoppers of gravel, through a gate, beyond that to an overgrown sheet metal warehouse that once was a body shop, to the furnace and chimney room. It looked like a kiln for a potter. There were cardboard coffins stacked up, empty around. The young man at a desk and a table, filling out papers, sweating. As we set out the incense and bell, the candle, I went to light cardboard coffin and opened the lid. The smell hit like a blow. I had thought that the funeral home had some sort of cooling, like a walk-in. Maybe they did, but it didn't help much. A gaunt face, more sunken, dehydrated. Eyes still open, but dull. Teeth bigger. Her body. Her body for sure. My sweet lady's body. Down to essentials. And I placed two books on her breast, books she had written to send her on her way. Looked again and again. And closed it and nodded. He rolled it up close, slid the box in the furnace, locked down the door. Like loading the torpedo, we burned incense and chanted the texts for impermanence and all beings who have lived or who will yet. Things writ only in magic, and just for the dead. Not for you, dear reader. Watching the temperature gauge on the furnace, firing with propane, goes steadily up. So now we can go. Maybe I know where she's gone. Kai and I, one more time, take a deep breath. This is the price of attachment.
Worth it.
Easily worth it. Still in love, being there, seeing and smelling and feeling it, thinking farewell, worth even the smell